listening to Superpower Mamas on the Superpower Up podcast, the show that embraces the art of soulful parenting.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Superpower Mamas, and I'm Laura Greco, your host. And I'm so excited that you are here today. This is the show where mamas are recalling their superpowers and changing the world from the foundation of families. So welcome. I would like to introduce you to someone I have known for a few years now and have followed her work, and I just love what she's doing. Her name is Deborah McNeilis, and she is an entrepreneurial author, international speaker, an educator, and passionate creator of neuro-nurturing. Which actually brings me to the title of this show, which is Embracing Human Brain Consciousness Through Neuro-Nurturing. As an early brain development specialist, she founded the Brain Insights LLC, and Deborah has developed many products that are centered around that. We're going to talk about some of that during our show. But for now, I'd just like to also share with you that we have actually participated together in another project, and I just love her enthusiasm. She is she's just such a wonderful person sharing such wonderful things. So welcome, Debbie. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be invited back and have this opportunity to share what I'm so passionate about and have this discussion with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. So I'm going to start off, of course, with our usual question, which is, what is your superpowers?
What I feel is my personal superpower is having the understanding of how brains develop, how brains function, and how we can easily understand how we can have a positive influence on the way a brain develops or functions.
Wow. That sounds really big. So in that understanding of the brain and how it functions, the title of our show is Embracing Human Brain Consciousness Through Neuro-Nurturing, which is actually a phrase you coined, right? Neuro-nurturing.
Yes, yes. It's a trademarked term that I came up with to convey that we just simply need to nurture brains. We need to use our heart, our soul, and nurture who each individual is to allow that to shine. And if we understand how brains develop, we can influence it in the most positive way so that the brain doesn't get wired in a way that is going to prevent us from being all that we are as beautiful, unique individuals who can shine and share that uniqueness.
Mm. So what I see here that you're striving to accomplish is a actual integration of the brain and the heart, bringing a consciousness back into our lifestyle.
Exactly, exactly. So an aspect of a reason why I developed the term neuro-nurturing is because for two reasons. One is sometimes if you hear the term brain development, it might be off-putting where you might think, oh, that sounds so scientific and too much neuroscience to get into. Or what's happened, I find, is that frequently, when people do realize that the early years are so impactful in the way a brain develops, the term brain development has become synonymous for many that, oh, if those early years are so important, we must impact those brains in a way that we're really focusing on building intelligence and putting as much knowledge into those kids' brains as early as possible. And so academics has been emphasized so strongly at younger and younger and younger ages. And this is not what the optimal way to develop a brain for thriving in life.
Interesting, huh? Deborah, yeah. This is very interesting. one of the things I tell with my clients is that, you know, there's a lot of information out there. And what I've discovered through speaking with them is that they are actually, they become not enough in some fashion because they're scurrying to achieve these, what is supposed to be the best thing for my child. And one of the things I share with them, what children need most is to be seen, to be heard, and to be truly valued and loved. So I would like you to expand on your work and how that really helps to integrate that for the moms as well and dads as well as the children.
Wow, I agree with everything you just said. Yes, the parents are bombarded with so much information, and sometimes it can be conflicting information. Well, how confusing is that?
Exactly.
And there's so many shoulds, and you should do this, and you should do that, and you should do this, and it's overwhelming sometimes. And so, in addressing a part of what you were bringing up, is that we need to stop and take what the information that we're getting, mm-hmm. and then go to our heart, go to what feels right to us. So that you are picking and choosing and not comparing and not feeling this should feeling. Just go to what does feel good for you, for your child or your children. And it might be different for each child besides. So, you know, this child might need this type of nurturing and this child might need this type of nurturing. And it could be very different because every one of us is unique. And so supporting it in that way. And then the other piece of what you were bringing up is that, yes, it, you know, as I said, sometimes it sounds complicated to think about brain development, but the points that you are bringing out are exactly what a child needs: to be listened to be understood, to be recognized, to be loved. So one of the points that I share usually at the beginning of every presentation I do, I say it isn't complicated. And that's kind of my niche. It's part of my superpower is that I share this understanding in very, very simple, basic, practical ways. And so I explain that to develop a brain in the most healthy and optimal ways, what we need to do is provide the physical and safety needs that a child has, and then provide loving interaction and play. So that isn't so complicated, is it?
No. And when you think about it, and both what you just said and what I shared earlier, a child needs these things. And yet the mother who is providing that for their child needs it so that she can really do it with a full bucket, with a fullness from herself.
Exactly. And so it's so one of the presentations I do is called Attention. And it's all about how we focus our attention. And the emphasis of it is on how our attention influences our self-perception. And so this is such exciting understanding, is that whatever we focus our attention on, it's going to wire and change our brain in different ways. It's going to have chemical reactions, biological changes in our body and hormone releases, depending on how we're focusing our attention. And repetition of the way that we're focusing our attention, if we're focusing it in the same way repeatedly, it creates strong pathways. So we have the wonderful opportunity of this understanding, that we can make changes to how we're feeling and how our brain wires and how our body is feeling based on what the way we're perceiving and the way we're focusing our attention. Isn't that exciting to realize? It just, one of the big things I focus on is that we have choice. we have choice. Choice reduces stress levels in the brain. And so whenever we're having either a real or perceived lack of choice, it creates stress. But we always have choice, and we can build that choice in. We can choose how we're going to react to something. We can choose how we think about ourselves. And so in this presentation that I mentioned, I talk about, you know, what we do to ourselves all the time, at the end of the day, and especially moms, end of the day, we think about, oh, I didn't get that done. Oh, I should have taken care of that. Oh, I sure didn't handle that well. Don't we? We do that to ourselves.
We do. And I love everything that you're sharing so far. It's so on target with what I teach as well. But what's most beautiful is the science behind it, and it's there. And that's something that did not exist when I was raising my children. I knew some of these things. I certainly didn't know all of them, but I was on that path of discovering. But there was no science to back it up.
Exactly. When I started with a bachelor's degree in early childhood education, and mm-hmm. when I was going through that program, everything was based on theory or behavioral studies. The technology wasn't advanced enough to know all that we know now. So when the research came out on early brain development, I got so excited because, yeah, as you said, it's science. It's such a relief and builds confidence for us to know, oh, science shows this is what children actually need, or this is what is going to make me feel better as a mom because I'm understanding that this is science. It's just not someone's belief or theory.
Very, very nice share. Thank you so much, Deb. We have to go for a break. I actually went over a little overtime here. So please share where people can find you.
My website is braininsightsonline.com.
So simple. Thank you very much. You are listening to Embracing Human Brain Consciousness Through Neuro-Nurturing. And this is Laura Greco at Superpower Mamas. So hold on, we'll be right back.
Are you here to change the world? Do you talk about things like vibration, frequency, awakening, and consciousness? Are you pretty sure you have superpowers? The Superpower Net is unlike normal coaching programs and conscious communities. We provide training, intuitive guidance, peer-to-peer learning, intensive one-on-one coaching, and a high vibrational network of people just like you. When you join the net, you get 24/7 access to a collaborative group of people who support you as you master your personal power and unlock your superpowers. If you're ready to use your superpowers to change the world, then join the Superpower Net today. Visit superpowerexperts.com/the net to learn more.
Welcome back, everyone. We're listening in on a conversation here with Deborah, and the topic is embracing human brain consciousness through neuro-nurturing, which is a term that Deborah coined, which we just love, the imagination here that can happen. And she is sharing with us such beautiful information about the science of the brain and how that really helps us to connect with the heart, both in our children and also in ourselves as moms. So, Deborah, to continue our conversation, you've brought out such wonderful points that for us to contemplate and to feel safer within ourselves as mothers, as well as raising our children, knowing that they too are safe when we really listen to our intuition and begin to understand the science behind the tuning in. And I wanted to ask you a question that I know is dear to your heart. Do you believe that a mama maintaining her autonomy is important in her parenting? And if so, why?
I definitely do. Mm-hmm. And some of what I've shared already kind of reinforces that belief. Mm-hmm. Because as I pointed out earlier, that every one of us is unique, beautifully unique. And when we follow our uniqueness and follow our passion and follow our hearts and what feels good to us, that's when we thrive. So being a mom that believes in herself is essential, because that creates a calmness, a confidence, and a role modeling for children.
Beautiful. You know, I studied the scriptures for years, and one of them says, train up a child according to the way for them. And even when they grow old, they will not turn aside. And I always took that to really picture the fact that each child is individual, as each person is, and that we want to be in tune to that. And a mom has that capacity, doesn't she?
Totally. It's yes. Yes. Has that capacity. And to recognize that is the case, that every child is unique, and just allow that child to shine their uniqueness is what I advocate for. And that's the whole reason I do the work that I do, because I don't want brains to develop in a way that is giving false messages. So an analogy I use is how we always talk about how every snowflake is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every snowflake is different. Every snowflake is unique and beautiful. And that's exactly how I feel about children. And I think you do too.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, as we're developing and a child is watching us and getting messages indirectly and directly, verbal and nonverbal, a self-perception is being created. And so what we want to do is do all that we can to support the development of that self-perception as positively as possible. So one of the things that I share in my presentations is that I don't advocate for praise. And sometimes people are, what? You sound like a positive person. But and I'm not saying praise is awful. Praise, you know, is positive. However, what I share is that it's even more advantageous if we just make statements about what we're observing and allow the child to then learn to self-evaluate. So the example I often use is, you know, a child brings a picture to you that they've just drawn. And our natural response is to say, oh, good job. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. When we do that, we're making the judgment.
Yeah.
We are judging if that's a good picture or beautiful picture. But if we instead make a statement such as, wow, you look like you're really proud of your picture, the child can then turn it around and self-evaluate. And they can say, yeah, I'm really proud of my picture. I didn't know I could draw a tree like that before. Or they can say, you know what? I think I can do better. And they can go and, you know, redo it and push themselves to even do more. But if we say, good job, we're setting the bar right there.
Yeah.
And so helping the child self-evaluate rather than learning to become dependent on the opinion and judgment of others, which ends up being the labels we stick on ourselves, and it may not be who they really are.
That is beautiful. Very nice example, too, of you know, how to speak to children. I know with my kids growing up, one of the things that I like to, rather than tell them about decisions they were making, you know, oh, you should not do this or that, I would often ask the question, well, let's see, does that bring you closer or further from the goals, you know, whatever the goals were that they wanted, and help them to evaluate for themselves whether the activity was one that would support them or not.
That's beautiful. Asking a question is a really good technique.
Right. And that's something that moms actually can do for themselves too in that way, because, you know, not all of us as moms were raised in the framework that you were describing here, or the understanding, and no blame, no judgment here, but just that this is a new tool, a new opportunity to expand in our understanding of ourselves and our children, right?
Right, right. So when we hear ourselves saying something negative, oh, I sure didn't handle that well today. I'm such a horrible mom. We need to catch ourselves and realize, wow, wait a minute. I am focusing my attention on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when we have a belief, what our brain does is it puts an emphasis on it's going to demonstrate whatever we believe to be true. So it's going to look for evidence to support our belief. So if you say that to yourself, oh, I'm such a lousy mom. I'm not doing a good job. Your brain is going to search for examples to support that belief.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want more of that. You want more of the opposite, right?
Right.
So if you catch yourself doing that and say, well, no, I'm a very loving, caring mom. And look, and your brain switches and starts looking for all the examples that support that belief. That's the difference we can make by our focused attention.
Love it. Love it. So you provide tools, right, for both the parents, the moms, and also the children, the parents for the children, right?
Right, right.
Would you like describe a little bit about that?
Certainly, yes. They are tools for parents to use with their children. And what they are, because as I said earlier, I try to make this information be as practical and understandable and fit into everyday life that's so busy. So what I did is I thought, there needs to be a way to make this easy for parents. So I created what I call neuro-nurturing interaction packets. And they're small packs of cards. There's 40 cards within the packet. They're about the size of a deck of cards. If you picture a deck of cards, and then they're hung on a ring. So that it's very easy for parents to have in a pocket or a purse or a diaper bag and have on hand and just flip open two cards that will give an activity idea or an interaction suggestion on the front of the card. You flip the card over and it's going to give you a brain insight. It's going to tell you just in very simple terms in what way that interaction or that activity is supporting your child's brain development. And they're all designed to be done in busy everyday life. So activities you can do while you're making dinner or while you're doing the laundry or while you're at the grocery store, riding in the car, waiting for an appointment, anything that you might be doing throughout the day. And there's one for each age from birth up to age 6, because the first 5 years are the most impactful in the way the brain develops.
Wow, that's really great. I can see that being very beneficial too when you're trying to repattern your own framework in parenting or expanding what you already know. A lot of moms today have an understanding that they want to be more spiritually minded or more in tune into intuition. However, what's the tangible, practical way of applying that, right?
Exactly, exactly. So for some moms, this might be new. You know, this might not be something that comes natural because, as you said, all of us don't have those ideal situations growing up. We didn't have those experiences. So it might not be natural to do this. So it's helpful for those parents that are seeking something. Well, what can I do? It's also reaffirming for other parents. Oh, I do these activities, and you look at the insights. Oh, that's what doing this activity is doing for my child. It provides more confidence.
Yes. Yes. So it's not another go-to, like we've been talking about research. This really is almost foundational in being able to know how to communicate or, I want to say, speak to the child in a way that's supportive of their own ability to develop their own intuitive knowing.
It is, yes. Yeah. And in addition, there's also, some insights that sometimes they're not thought about. for instance, when I'm presenting, I talk about a lot of the basics that children need that sometimes are overlooked, such as how nutrition impacts the brain, how it functions, how it learns, how it focuses, how it pays attention, moods. I find in presenting that that often is eye-opening for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because they think of nutrition in relation to the body, but mm-hmm. it really makes a dramatic impact on all of those other aspects that I mentioned. And time outdoors, time in nature, time to move, really impacts the way a brain is going to function. Hydration, you know, even some of those basics, the amount of sleep and regular routines, and as I mentioned earlier, providing choice. And so all of those real basic things to stop and realize, I need to make sure that those are all happening, and your life and your child's life are all going to be much smoother as a result.
Absolutely. Talk about a little bit of peace, right?
Yes.
That's really wonderful. And thank you for sharing all that and for being that powerful person in the world that is actually providing these kinds of tools out there. I want to ask you, Deborah, another question concerning, you know, you're doing this work. What do you see as the big picture, like the larger impact? You know, you're doing quite a bit of an impact, but how do you see this really affecting the world in general?
Well, I halfway kiddingly say this, but I really mean it at yeah. the same time. When I address an audience, I say the reason that I created Brain Insights is because I want every adult on this planet to understand this. I want this to become common knowledge. If this understanding becomes common knowledge and we're supporting that optimal brain development of a child so that their higher functioning areas of the brain are thriving, so that children are not operating from their stress response system most of the time, and allowing that child to be all that they are, we can make an incredibly positive impact in this world. So, yeah, I see a big picture. mm-hmm. If parents are feeling better about themselves, and then that's transmitting to the children and having this understanding of how we can have this positive influence, what a difference that can make.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so true, isn't it, that anything that's foundational in our growth and in our coming to peace is got to come from the inside, right?
Definitely, definitely. And all too often, you know, we have all this information and understanding and the science to back it up. And all too often, we're seeing too much of the opposite is happening for so many children. So we need to get to the heart and soul of all of this and provide the love and the play and all the things that you mentioned, the love, the play, the interaction, so that children are getting exactly what they need.
Exactly. And all of those things, the love, the play, you know, the interaction, that is actually, I call it the child's work. Like, it's part of their processing system of the world around them and how they interact with it.
Definitely. That's how they learn. They yeah. only learn through interaction with the world. And as I mentioned briefly at the beginning, is that, you know, academics are so pushed down on young children, and they're missing those opportunities to explore and do experimentation and trial and error, and both, you know, hands-on and physically, so that they're, in many cases, recess time or time outdoors, just time for them to run and play and explore and try and risk and do all those things that they need to do, is being diminished in too many cases for too many children.
You know, you just touched on something that I think that is probably worth putting out there at this time. You said trust. To take risks.
Yes.
And how difficult and challenging sometimes that can be for a parent to trust not just themselves, but to trust the child in a risky situation that is, you know, like, I don't want them to fall, or, oh, I don't want them this or that. You know what I'm saying? Like, trust that they can actually maneuver through it. One example that I can recall is that my kids, we lived on a hill in the woods, and they would take these tricycles and they would go up the hill and ride them down. Well, when I saw what they were doing, my heart went down my throat. Like, oh my God. But they were fine. They were learning balance. You know, they had things that they were learning. So I'm not talking about letting them go out of a safe zone, but I realized that my fear could actually be translated to them. And it was time for me to begin to trust them a little more.
That's a really good example, a really good example. But yes, and they're not going to, when you think of, say, a one-year-old that's learning to walk, they're not going to let go until they feel confident that they're going to be able to do it. So it's, they have some knowing about what they can and cannot do. Right. So your example is beautiful.
Yeah, there are parameters. So I'm not saying let them go, you know, wild, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's good for us to begin to trust them. It gives them an opportunity to trust themselves.
It is. That's a very good point.
And that is a challenging thing for parents to do. However, also the support around that is very helpful and makes us feel better, right? So I see that partly as the tools that I provide, but also the tools you're providing. So where do people find these tools? Like, where are they?
Well, you can get them on my website, mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, which is braininsightsonline.com. So I sell them directly there. I'm in the process of making them available on Amazon too. So soon they will be available on Amazon. For anyone that might be in the early childhood education field as well as being a parent, they are available for early childhood educators and childcare teachers through Red Leaf Press. And there's a couple of newer additions, one on balanced stimulation so that we're not overstimulating or understimulating brains, because both create stress. So those are available at that site as well.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And yes, maybe some of our listeners are in the education field, so this is beautiful. Thank you for that. So, you know, we're getting close to the end, and I really want to give you time to share what you might share next. And that is, I would like to ask you the question, you know, out of our discussion today, what is a point that you would like for mamas to really take home with them, maybe something they can practice doing right away to get to feel that peace and comfort that you are providing through knowledge of an understanding of the brain and then tools to be able to reach the heart, basically?
My suggestion would be to simply stop and form a positive belief about yourself and put an emphasis on that. So say, dedicate a week that you are going to prove to yourself that you are a very loving, supportive parent. And or you can choose anything. That's just an example. Mm-hmm. So you might choose that and keep a notepad, and throughout the week, jot down, oh, I felt really good about that. I felt really strong about how I handled that. And just let yourself focus on all that's going to support that positive belief.
That is very useful. I can see that working very well. And the reason is because not only are you reinforcing your positive belief as far as even your brain, like you were talking about, you know, the connection in your brain and how that affects the brain health, which affects you. But also I read one time in a book about a relationship between two individuals that was not going well. And what the one did was he began to write a secret book that the other person didn't know about, and all the attributes that he saw, the positives. And what's interesting is the whole relationship dynamic changed, even though the other person didn't know.
And exactly.
It affected the relationship, and it was became a gift at the end of the year. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, exactly.
And
everything,
so,
everything changes. It's all connected. And what happens is when you're focusing your belief in that positive way, you might feel your heart going, yes, yes, and reinforcing it, because all kinds of, as I mentioned before, hormones and chemicals are going to be released. The serotonin and the feel-good chemicals are all going to be released, and it's going to reinforce. And so it's not only your heart, not only your brain, it's your heart as well. And we have neurons in our heart, and our heart is giving messages directly to our brain, in addition to our brain giving messages to our heart.
Yeah. So what happens if you're feeling resistance around it? Like, you start doing it and then you're saying, oh, I don't know. What do you say to that?
That can happen, but the goal is to try to catch yourself in doing that. And to try to turn it, because mm-hmm. Am I really resisting it? Do I want to resist this? Ask yourself those kinds of questions. Do I really want to resist this, or do I want to believe this? Do I want to see evidence that I am a really loving and caring parent, or whatever choice you make?
Right.
Just turn it around and ask yourself that question.
Yes, and that's beautiful, because it's foundational to building a relationship with yourself.
Right.
Much like the person wrote about the other person, this is an opportunity for you to do it for yourself.
Exactly.
And that energetically shifts the dynamics in the family.
Yes, yes. And Dr. Bruce Perry, he focuses on, if you're not familiar with him, he focuses on trauma, stress, abuse, neglect, and he talks about, you know, the critical importance of relationships. And he states that to make a difference, a positive impact on the way our brains operate, is to have a significant supportive relationship in our life. Well, what if we are that significant supportive person for ourselves?
Right. Right. And that's what it's coming to. It doesn't mean that we're stand alone. We're not an island, but it does give us an opportunity to take in information and then really, as you said earlier, or we talked about it earlier in the show, to really sit with it and decide, right, what's supportive in our case or in the case of one of our children.
Right. And to stop and think about, creating support systems and community around that are positive and supportive of you. But just also, if you are getting something that doesn't sit right or doesn't feel right, a message from someone or someone's, you know, trying to label you in a certain way, like, so for example, oh, you're being too overprotective. Someone might say that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think about, are you going to take that label on? Or not. You have that choice. If someone says to you, oh, your skin is full of purple polka dots, you're going to go, well, no, it isn't. Well, you can do the same thing with someone, you know, putting any kind of label on you.
Yeah. 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 That is really helpful. I love that you shared that. That's a good point. Deborah, it's been so great having you on the show. And I hope that you'll come and visit us again sometime soon. And I wish you best in your travels in helping families and educators to, connect with what is important in raising of our children, as well as taking care of ourselves as moms, dads, and whatever, right?
Right. It's been such a pleasure. I love communicating with you and sharing this information and having the opportunity to do it in this way. And hopefully it has warmed the heart of anyone listening. And that is my hope. So thank you again for that opportunity. And I would love to come back and share again.
Thank you so much. So you have been listening to Superpower Mamas, and we've been speaking with Deborah McNillis, and we have been talking on the topic of embracing human brain consciousness through neuronurturing. And where do people find you again? Deborah, let's just share your website again.
www.braininsightsonline.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. And thank you all you listeners out there. And so mamas, I want to encourage you to love yourselves for the treasures that you are. You already have what it takes. And every big change starts in your own hearts and in your own families. So own your superpowers and go out and be you. Thank you.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.